Hello, and welcome back for another affiliate-focused branch of the UF Care Podcast. These are conversations with early career professionals studying addiction research here at the University of Florida, as well as providing advice and support for those entering the field. My name is Victor. I am a rising fourth-year graduate student here in the Department of Clinical and Health Psychology, working with Dr. Jeff Boisano. And today we're joined by Samantha Rakella, a rising third year here at the University of Florida in the Department of Pharmacodynamics in the lab of Dr. Brandon Warren. Fun note, Samantha recently won Best Poster at the College of Pharmacy Research Showcase. Congratulations, Samantha, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've watched your podcast and Dr. Brandon's podcast before when I'm creeping on the internet, so cool to hear.
Well, that's super cool to hear. Thank you. Would you prefer Samantha, Sam?
Either is fine. Most people call me Sam, so that's good.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, Sam, thanks for taking the time to join us today. I know it's a little early here, so we'll just hop right into it. To review, since you've heard the podcast before, you know how this goes. We're just going to go through some questions about your career, where you've been and where you're going, about your research and all that good stuff. And then we'll end today just by talking about any advice you might have for other early career professionals or folks interested in getting started in the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
Cool. So just to start, Sam, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I can. So my name's Samantha, Sam. I'm a second year, but almost third year graduate student. I'm in Dr. Warren's lab, as you said. I'm over at the College of Pharmacy in Pharmacodynamics, and I got my undergraduate degree in chemistry from Florida International University. So I have a BS in chemistry. I wasn't really planning to do what I'm doing. I did this program called it was with UF, Summer Undergraduate Research Fellowship. I kind of did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I got an email that was like, here's a doctoral test run. It's kind of like a mini program that gives you kind of the PhD experience. And I was like, well, I always thought maybe graduate school was kind of in the cards for me. Let me just try it out. It's a summer. If I don't like it, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
So I got matched with Dr. Warren's laboratory actually in that program. And then I decided to do my PhD with Dr. Warren. So that is kind of how I got here. And Dr. Warren's lab he's interested in learning and memory at like the core, the crux of what he's interested in. And we do that largely using drug as a reinforcer. So basically we kind of use drug use as a model of associative learning because of how clear that associative learning is between the drug and the associated drug cues.
Okay. So that's really cool. That's a very cool story. So Sam, you studied chemistry in undergrad and you weren't planning on taking this path that you have, but you experienced, you mentioned the Summer Undergraduate Research Fellowship, that's SURF, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned going through that experience. What about that time in Dr. Warren's lab kind of made you think, oh, maybe this direction would be interesting?
Yeah. So I kind of, from chemistry, I worked in a chemistry lab for undergraduate, like I volunteered and I realized I was like, okay, this is cool, but how does it work in things that are alive? And I did biochemistry lab. And then I was like, okay, I kind of wanted more. I knew that I wanted more. I was very interested in how like a tiny little thing can like have this huge effect on this biological system. I wanted to know how that worked. So then I saw that in the SURF program, they had this thing called pharmacodynamics. And I was like, what does that word mean? I kind of looked it up. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds right. And then Dr. Warren's research kind of popped up and it seemed more neuroscience to me. So I was like a little like, I wonder if I'll like that. And then I thought, well, I kind of like everything. I'm interested in everything. Maybe the brain would be a good thing to study. It seems like that is kind of like the basis of us. And then I just kind of liked, I've always been, you know, you hear the horror stories about graduates, like students, like, oh my God, you're going to work all the time. It's going to be so terrible. And I was like, well, I've always been kind of a masochist. I'm a workaholic. Maybe this would be good.
Grad school's perfect then.
Yeah, great. I made a great choice. So I kind of worked in his lab and he kind of said, here, do this, figure this out. Bye. Not really. He was supportive, but like,
okay,
it was a much more free environment than I was used to. It wasn't like, I was very used to like you have a boss and they tell you exactly what to do all of the time. This is a much less structured. It was kind of like, here's a problem. No, I don't know how to solve it. I can give you some help, but like ultimately it's kind of up to you. And I had always been interested in like researching kind of psychiatric afflictions. I'm just kind of interested in like, okay, what went wrong in the brain? Because I think that is a good avenue to help people eventually. And the addiction kind of component of that also played into it. It was a new perspective. I had never really thought of it as like a learned disorder. And I got to just, I was on a microscope a lot of the time looking at brain tissue, trying to figure out, okay, I learned just so much. It was like so many things that I'd never thought of. And like, I kind of got to do it the hard way in a way, because I got to like kind of get in the trenches and actually figure stuff out by myself. And I really liked that experience. And I thought, okay, this is kind of what graduate school is, right? So maybe that is the best choice for me. I knew that in the future, maybe this might be something I wanted to pursue, like science in general. And I think you pretty much need a PhD to do most of the jobs that I was interested in. So it just kind of seemed like the right choice at the time. That's what made me end up there.
Sure. I mean, that I think that is a common story from these kinds of conversations for this podcast, that folks start in one place and then over their experiences being open to new opportunities as they arise, they learn that there's more out there that they enjoy. And so trying to figure out how to get to those places. And your journey from chemistry to biochem to pharmacodynamics to neuroscience, that's really cool, Sam.
Thanks.
So you're a rising third year now. Have you done a master's thesis already?
No, I have not done any master's. I came straight from undergrad.
Okay. Any sort of, so you're going right into the PhD.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see. Okay. So any sort of verbals or thoughts as to what your dissertation might be?
So recently, I have been doing, like I said, Dr. Warren's lab, he does a lot of learning and memory with drugs and usually cocaine. So I've mostly been in that world, but another component of why I wanted to join that I forgot to say is that he was interested in starting up kind of a new wing of his lab, which is looking into stress research. It makes sense with learning and memory, stress and PTSD, things like that, why he would want to look into it. And I always had been interested in like studying the origins of like psychiatric disorders, especially depression and anxiety. And the thing that he wanted to start is using this chronic stress model called social defeat stress. So basically you have a mouse and it gets kind of beat up by a different type of mouse for 10 days. And that induces symptoms that are reminiscent of the symptoms that we can like make it seem like depressed person or a person with depression or anxiety, like they will avoid social interaction, things like that. And so we want to kind of use that for my dissertation research. I just started it though. We just got the mice like 2 months ago or something. So I don't have any data yet. The idea is that we want to look at both the effects of acute and chronic stress and then compare populations of animals that, so when I said that the animals will develop depressive symptoms, not all of them do, depressive-like symptoms, sorry. So not all of the animals develop those changes in behaviors. Some of them do, they're called susceptible. Some of them do not, they're called resilient. So I'm kind of interested in what are the differences between those and what is happening in their brain. I wonder if that has any connection to whether or not we can maybe treat these animals that develop the behaviors so that they no longer exhibit those depressive-like behaviors. So that is kind of where we're going. We're using this mouse line that it's a FOS trap. So basically we can label neuronal populations that are active at two separate time points, which we've never been able to do before. And the idea is to kind of look, the first step will be like, okay, are the neurons, the same neurons that are activated during acute stress, like the very first instance of the stressor, still the ones activated later on after they've kind of gone through this for 10 days? Are they different? How much are they overlapping? What are the phenotypes of these cellular populations? things like that. So that's kind of the overarching idea of the dissertation. I will be honest, I have not made my proposal yet. That's what I'm supposed to be doing now. So I don't have like a better organized description of it. That's kind of like the essence of it.
Sure. Well, I think this is a great use of your time talking about this kind of research. It's really neat. Sam, I haven't heard of mouse bullying science before.
It sounds awful on paper.
How do you figure out who's going to be the mouse victim and who's going to be the mouse bully? Is it two different like lines or like genealogies of mice?
Two different mouse lines. So we use retired breeders. Typically the CD1 are the ones that we use. I think people use different strains of that though. We use the big bully mice. So they're kind of old and grizzled and they're pissed. And when you put them in a cage by themselves, they become territorial of that cage. Hmm. And then when you toss one of these little mice in, which is the mouse that they're the transgenic mice, the ones that can do the special thing where it can label the populations two separate times, those are the ones that get beat up. So basically, once those mice are territorial, they're mad, they have their house. When you put a different mouse in, they get upset. They attack the other mouse typically. So that is how we pick.
Wow. That's kind of intense. That's the social defeat model you said.
Yeah, chronic social defeat stress.
Wow. And so you're using that to look at, you mentioned looking at different neuronal pathways of acute and chronic stress to see if they are handled in the brain similarly or differently, and looking at differences between the mice who succumb to this stress and become depressive or anxious, and those mice who are resilient to those sorts of symptoms. Okay. That's really cool, Sam. I had not heard of that kind of work before.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a newer thing. I don't know how many people have used the FOS trap method, but check. Don't cite me on that. I still haven't done it. Sure. I think it's pretty exciting. We eventually want to do like this would kind of just be like the start of it, like just kind of what neurons are involved, stuff like that. But eventually, we want to do like causal role stuff. Like if we manipulate this group, what happens? The kind of like neuronal ensemble thing that Dr. Warren is big into.
That's very cool, Sam. So what is next for you? Sounds like working on this dissertation and putting together a project using this model. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, a lot of work.
Okay. Do you have a sense of where you want to go beyond that, thinking a few years out?
That's a great question. I wish I had a good answer for it. To be honest, I don't know. I like what I'm doing now, but I did come from chemistry and I would be lying if I said that I didn't kind of miss the like just pure quantitative aspect. It is kind of hard to talk in like abstractions. Like I feel like when I say learning and memory, like what is that? Like point that to me. I know that's part of the question we're trying to answer, but it's still sometimes like, like I just want a number. Give me a number. So I don't know. I don't know if I might go to something a little more like direct. I've like tossed a bunch of ideas around in my head. I like research. Maybe I want to be a professor. That's something I'd like to kind of get involved with, like mentoring students. I feel like I've been pretty lucky to get to where I am. And like that's really important to me to be able to pay that back somehow, but I'm not really sure how to do that yet. One of the most fun things I think is like figuring out how to present your research. A lot of times, like, I don't know what I'm doing fully until I try to tell somebody else what I'm doing and try to put it together in like a neat PowerPoint presentation where I don't just sound like a mad person spitting out a bunch of data. Like I have to organize it in a logical way so that someone who doesn't necessarily know what I'm doing as well as I do can understand what I'm saying and well enough in order to have like a conversation with me about it. So I don't know. I think that in the community thing, maybe scientific communications or something that I'm interested in. That's like a long-winded way to say that I don't really know. I feel like sometimes I wake up and I just like I'm holding a rat and I'm like, what? How did this happen? It just feels like how I got here is just so not what I expected out of my life. So I'm kind of just like open to who knows where it will take me. At this point,
Yeah.
I try to predict things and you just don't know.
Yeah. It sounds like you've been open to that kind of journey in the past and it's gotten you to a good place. Mm-hmm. It sounds like your journey's not done and there's still more zigging and zagging ahead.
Cool. Yeah, sure. Definitely zigging and zagging.
Yeah. Sam, how long is this program?
I've been in it for 2 years. It's 4 to 5 years before you graduate. I think it'll probably be 5 years. So probably about 3 more years for me.
Okay. So approaching halfway.
Yes.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, Sam, let's wrap this conversation up today. Do you have any advice for other folks who are hearing this kind of work that you're doing? Maybe they're in chemistry themselves and thinking, oh, rat work. That sounds really neat, working with mice and social defeat and resilience factors for anxiety and depression. What advice would you have for folks hearing this kind of conversation and wanting to do the kind of work that you do?
So I think if you're interested in research, the only way to know for sure whether you actually like research is to do it. And I know that's kind of hard to just say, like, if you're listening from a place that maybe doesn't have like a big university nearby or like a research area. I don't know about this field, if you want to work with rats so much, but maybe other fields might be more open to kind of like a remote participation. So basically my advice is that I'm trying to make conclusive, but my advice would be to try to get involved with research just in general. I don't think it needs to be like exactly the perfect dream lab. Like if you specifically want to do this, I think you have to have an open mind. Sometimes, you know, someone's not taking students, things like that. Talk to people, I think probably. That's the one thing that like I tried to avoid doing, but you just can't. Like some people's lab websites aren't updated. You ultimately kind of just have to like reach out to them, send your little emails, make sure that you're persistent in it as well. Professors are really busy. If they miss your email, they're not going to be the ones to be like, hey, sorry about that. Probably. They're probably busy and it got lost in their mountain. You're going to have to be the one to follow up and stuff like that. So kind of like be persistent. Be willing to communicate with people. I think like one thing, like there's lots of like little tips that you kind of pick up along the way. Like for example, you can also talk to graduate students. Like instead of going straight to the PI, you can also, hey, I'm interested in the research that your lab does. Do you think you could tell me a little bit more? Like they're like in the trenches with that stuff. So they're going to know, they're taking students. Usually, at least in my lab, like the graduate students are the one who trained volunteers and things like that. So they're a good point of contact first, if you're very intimidated by like reaching out to a PI right away. I don't know. I think that's probably the top advice, like try to get yourself in it. And then you can kind of go from there to figure out if that's still what you like, if maybe you change and you want to try something else. But usually kind of like a good indicator for people, I think, is if you have research experience at all, that is a good way to get like your foot in the door that will make someone look at your resume. So yeah, I think that's like the number one thing. Don't be afraid to talk to people. You kind of have to, that's how you figure stuff out.
Thank you, Sam. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk today. We do also want to give a thanks to the University of Florida Center for Addiction Research and Education, Dr. Oliver Grundman, Dr. Sarah Jo Nixon, Dr. Joanne Paris, and all of our mentors and future collaborators. Catch you next time.